Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In my first church, I met a very, very bright 12-year-old boy who was struggling already with his future career options. And he was wondering out loud what career path he would choose. And he had it figured this way. He said, if I become a lawyer, it'll take this many years, but I'll make so many thousand dollars. And if I become a doctor, it'll take this many years, but I'll make so many thousand dollars. And he pondered about specializing in one field or the other. And he said, it'll take more years of my life, but it'll also return more money. And he was a bright boy. And he wanted to make sure that he did not waste more years than he had to for the maximum financial gain. But it occurred to me he wasn't figuring into the fact that doctoring and lawyering are very different careers. And there is more to compare than just the years spent in school and the money made. Even the very brightest child or brightest 12-year-old doesn't know much about the fact that you can have a huge salary and still hate your job. It is possible to have a huge salary and still be miserable if you hate what you're doing. Some things do make a good return on time invested, but there is more to life than financial return on time invested. And I'm reminded of this story. This is where the wolves come in. Now, the morning crowd didn't like the story. I think it makes a point, and it's funny. I'm letting you know before I tell it. I'm reminded of Sam and Ed, and they needed money. And there were wolves out in this part of the woods, in this part of the state they were in. And the wolves were killing the farmer's sheep. And so the farmers raised a bounty together on the wolves to $100 a pelt. Well, Sam and Ed were both hunters, and they were unemployed and needed the cash. So they got their gear together, they got their guns together, and they headed out to the wide open spaces to shoot some wolves and make some money. Now, they had just fallen asleep out under the stars when a noise woke up Ed. And by the light of the campfire, Ed looked around and saw the eyes glowing of about 100 wolves and their teeth gleaming in the campfire. He elbowed his friend Sam. He said, Sam, wake up. We're rich. All right. Things don't always work out the way you think they will. I'm going to try this one. A true story from 1928 in February. You know, whales are some of the most amazing creatures God has made. Fin whales can easily, I am told, hear the bleeps of other fin whales up to 4,000 miles away. And humpback whales like to sing and rhyme, and the songs they sing are always changing at the same time. They're passed from one male humpback whale to another, so that at any given time, in any given season, all the whales in a single ocean are singing the same song. It's astounding. Well, in February 1928, a female blue whale who had roamed freely for many, many, many decades in the Antarctic was killed. And from the actual measurements that were taken at the time, some scientists are convinced that even today that this particular female whale was the largest creature ever to have lived on Earth, bigger even than any known dinosaur. But the people who had the privilege of seeing her didn't really see her. They were in such a hurry to harvest her blubber and find other family members of that species that they didn't salvage anything. There was not a single photograph made, and in 1928 they could have done that. Not a single bone was salvaged. What could we be missing in our lives because of harvesting, to take the analogy too far, blubber? What are we not seeing as we work and save and invest and acquire? What are we missing? What are we not saving? What are we not savoring? What part of God's kingdom are you not experiencing because you are in a rush to make a kill or a killing? What good is stuff without someone to follow and someone to serve and some purpose in life? Now, this is our Christian Education Sunday, and our job is as a congregation to teach our children that it matters what you do and why you do it and who you follow. It matters. We all know that Jesus taught two major themes throughout Scripture, and that is to love God completely with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and trust God, and also to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this same story about the rich man, and in Luke, I think he's called the rich young ruler. Well, wealth and power, even today, seem to travel together. So I'm going to call him the rich young ruler. Mark records that Jesus loved this man. He was so near to the kingdom. He asked all the right questions. He seemed to understand the importance of the law, the Ten Commandments, and he understood Jesus' teaching, or at least that his teaching was important. But he misunderstood what his blessing of riches was for. He wanted to keep his wealth to himself. And he wanted to acquire, I think, one more possession. He wanted to acquire God. He wanted to add God to his list. He wanted faith, hope, and money instead of faith, hope, and charity. He was saying to himself, okay, I've got wealth, I've got power, I've bought me some friends, a nice wife. Now, how much does this eternal life cost? Jesus, tell me, how much for that eternal life? I'm very wealthy, name your price. And Jesus said, it will cost you. It will cost you all that you have, every dime. Sell it all and give to the poor. Then you will be free to come and follow me. And it says the rich man was very, very sorrowful. He was grieved at heart. Why? Because he was so wealthy, he could not do it. Serving God was something that he wanted, but not at that price. God was desirable, but gold is tangible. He could not part with the wealth that had bought him power, prestige, friends, and fashionable stuff. And so grieving, he walked away. In that instant, I think that he understood that he did not own his gold. His gold owned him. Jesus looked upon him and loved him, though. He was close, and he had blessings that God could use if he came to faith as a holy agent of God's kingdom. He could have seen the money as a tool with which to show his faith. But he was stuck at the point of, I am blessed, and it's just me and you, God. Thank you for the money, and thank you for the eternal life, and I'll be fine, just me and you. Give me one more blessing, eternal life. What do I have to do to get there? He was close, but he missed the vital connection. Those who come to God, God always, always, always sends out to others. From what Jesus says, it is clear that he had given the commandments lip service, but he had neglected the poor around him. He did not mind receiving blessings, but he just wanted that one more eternal blessing. Apparently, he didn't understand that his wealth had been entrusted to him so that he could be a blessing to others. And this he was not doing. Gold makes a good tool, but a poor master. Apparently the rich young ruler could not get past God's plan to make us useful hands to help our neighbors whom God loves just as much as he loves us. He had a good question. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was asking the right question, and he had gotten down to the fundamentals. He was, in effect, saying, Jesus, you clearly have the secret to authentic living. Tell me the secret so that I, too, may be fulfilled. When Jesus was asked a similar question in the Gospel of Luke, he, at that point, boiled all the law and all the prophets down to these. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus keeps doing that. He keeps connecting faith over and over to God and then immediately to neighbor. Jesus will not allow faith to be a private thing. Faith in God connects us to others always and everywhere in Jesus' teaching, in Jesus' life, in Jesus' death and resurrection. Following God, serving others is the gospel message. Trusting God, saving others is what Jesus did. How does mere accumulation of wealth fit in? Well, before I get it to that, I have one more story I'm going to try. A funny story, but it kind of makes a point. About a three-year-old named Betty, and I have grandchildren 1, 2, and 4, so I'm familiar with the age 3 again. Betty was playing in the living room, and she was testing things out, as children will do. They sometimes put them in their mouth, sometimes put them in their nose, sometimes do other things with them. Well, anyway, her mother saw Betty pick up a nickel, examine it, and before she could get to her, swallow it. And the mother immediately picked her up, turned her upside down, pounded on her back, whereupon Betty coughed up 2 dimes. Now, the mother was really worried. Hysterically, she cried out to her husband in the backyard, "Betty just swallowed a nickel and she coughed up 2 dimes. Hurry, tell me what to do." And the father shouted back, "Keep feeding her nickels. We need the money." Where does the accumulation of wealth fit in? Well, some things are more important than wealth, such as your child's health. Money is mostly seen in the scripture as a tool which reveals your faith and your desire to serve God, serve your neighbor. You can do a lot of good with money. It's how we keep score in our culture. It's how we show the world why we do what we do. It's how we show the world who we follow. The rich young ruler followed gold, and he could not part with it, not even for God, not for his neighbor, not even to save his own soul. He was given the choice. The man did not have room for faith in God because he already had his faith in gold. As I read it, Jesus sees the man's misunderstanding in the very question, "What must I do to get this eternal life?" As if he could buy it, as if he could do something to earn it. So Jesus allowed that mistaken question to stand, and he answered him in his terms. Jesus was making a huge point. He said, "Okay, to show you that eternal life cannot be bought, and to show you what faith is, and to illustrate to you what total faith and trust in God looks like, and to illustrate that you do not understand that your blessing of wealth was always meant to be for God's use and others' help, to make all of that clear to you, you want a deed that you can do to prove that you understand what God wants and what faith in God requires? All right. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll be free to come follow me." Jesus was saying, trust me more than the wealth that has raised you up so high above your needy neighbors, so high you think yourself better than others, so high that you see yourself as blessed in a singular and lonely way. But you cannot part with the money. It owns you. You no longer own it or have the option to use it as a tool. You misunderstand the purpose of your blessing and the gift of salvation and God's love of your needy neighbors. You really want a deed you can do to prove your heart is right? Give it all away. It stands between you and God. It stands between you and your neighbor. Give it away. Then come and follow me. Jesus is teaching once more the hard lesson, the clear lesson of the great commandment and the second greatest commandment. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We say we trust God. We say we love God. Let us show that we love God by the way we treat our time, our talents, and our treasure. The rich man walked away, and he was grieving because he had too much wealth, too much to part with. He could almost buy anything except faith and trust in God. And the disciples were amazed for one reason. They thought if you're wealthy, that meant God had blessed you. And if a man who's blessed can't come to God and into the kingdom of God, then who can? But this man walked away sorrowful, grieving his wealth. and grieving without Jesus. How much for that eternal life, Jesus? I'll take some. Well, love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. And one more thing, love your neighbor as yourself. And if there is anything, not just wealth, but anything made of dust or rust or decay which gets in the way, get rid of that first. And then, come follow me, says Jesus.